This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Oh, hi, my name's Jeanette and I'm now alcohol-free for around 150 days, which is a miracle, to say the least. I've been trying to go alcohol-free for about a decade, on and off, doing a month here, a week here, 2 months here, you know the score. But now I'm 150 days in and absolutely loving it. Life is so much better. Being part of the OTI community has helped me vastly. It's fun. It looks at what you're gaining, not what you're missing out, which was a mistake I made before. I always thought I was missing out on life when I wasn't drinking. Oh my God, how wrong was I? Life is great without a drink. Just try it.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is, as always, fabulous to have you listening. Thank you very kindly. Wherever you are on your alcohol-free journey, you are welcome here at Over the Influence. A reintroduction as to who we are, or maybe if you are finding us for the first time, a completely new hello and introduction. My name's Sharon. That sounded concise and to the point, didn't it?
It's early though today, isn't it? It's early. We're recording at a different time of the day.
It's not, it doesn't feel right. Because of the time
differences. Yeah.
And don't talk about time differences because that.
No.
What's my name? Sharon Hartley. My name's Sharon Hartley. You can call me Shaz, and I'm based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. My app thingy, counter majiggy what's it, told me the other day that I am officially 4 years and 10 months alcohol-free, which means my next flipping mega milestone, it's 5 actual years of not touching a drop of alcohol, which is... It's ridic. It's most ridic. Never wanted to be sober, thought it would be crap. Didn't want to give up drinking, thought it would be dull. Took a break, fully intended to get back on it. And then, yeah, everybody was right. It all changed. Completely and utterly fell over, head over heels in love with the sobriety. And hence why this podcast exists, so we can bleat on about it week in, week out, and let you know that actually there is another way. I don't bleat on my own. Good morning. This is weird. Morning, Ben.
It's weird. Yeah, I mean, for you listening, it's just completely the same. Like, you know, the episodes come out at the time it always comes out. But for us, we're recording it at the other end of the day. We usually record in the evenings. We're recording in the morning because Australia are 9 hours ahead.
Just for the purpose of our dear listener, we obviously do this over Zoom. I can see Ben's face. As I speak, he's just taking a swig of something highly caffeinated. He's got...
Have you seen the world's biggest mug as well? I've got the biggest mug I could find out of the...
No, it's those Sports Direct ones that are the biggest ones. They're the hangover mugs when you need one. Not that we do anymore. He looks a little bit tired. I don't think his eyes are actually open yet, but his mouth works, so that's good. That's all we need. As long as your gob's wobbling, we're all right, Ben.
Yeah. The brain doesn't know what it's actually sending to the mouth, but yeah.
We'll get through it. We are recording this other end of the day for us. For our guest, it is the other side of the world. Not only is Nicole fabulous and alcohol-free and in Australia, she's also one of our much-loved community members, and it gives us great pleasure to welcome Nicole Hacking to the actual podcast. How the heck are you?
Thank you, guys. It's a great, great honour to be here. I feel really humbled and a little bit in awe to be in your company. Thank you so much. And I apologise for the time difference, though I know how you feel because I've just returned from the UK myself, so I've got the jet lag, so I'm kind of at the same level you guys are, so... Let's go.
Yeah, all over the bloody show, basically. Yes. Let's not beat about the bush, you know. Nicole, it's amazing to see you. Just talking there about the jet lag, because you have been on a whistle-stop tour back to the UK for a family wedding. Can you imagine combining that with a hangover?
No, and it was such a whirlwind trip, so packed, so busy. I was actually thinking, could I even do this trip if I was still drinking? And I just think, no, I would have just felt, you know, crap every day. As it was, I had the most amazing time. Like, yes, I'm tired, but I'm also all good. You know what I mean? I don't feel that meh. I'm not struggling. I'm still good to go. And yeah, alcohol-free holidays. Who knew? They're the best.
Who knew? It's all a surprise, isn't it? All down the line, you keep going, who knew? And here's another revelation. Before we get into talking about your story and the fact you're now over 2 years alcohol-free, just tell us a little bit about you, Nicole, in Australia, who you are, what you do, what life's like there for you.
I don't even know what to say, really. I'm Nicole, I'm 53 years old. I live in Brisbane in Australia, but I've lived kind of all over Australia throughout my life, so I've moved a lot. I work as a technical writer at the moment, but I've had a few different career incarnations, starting off as a marine biologist for many years, which, yeah, some drinking went on there. just bought a new house with my partner Neil, which is something I probably never would have done had I not put down the bottle, because so much money is wasted on drinking, so I managed to save up a deposit for that. And, yeah, been travelling, seeing people, having a great time. Alcohol-free life is absolutely the way forward. So, yeah, it took me a little while to get it right, but I'm so grateful now. I'm so grateful to be here.
How long did it take you to get it right, Nicole? Like, how long are we talking, you know, a couple of attempts? Are we talking? Because some people say that they've been trying this for decades when it comes to actually kind of, you know, making this stick.
Yeah, I was thinking about this morning, and probably, to be really honest, probably around 10 years, because, you know, I was always a party girl in the 90s. You know, I went to university, that's where I learned to drink. Then I had my sort of marine science sort of career where we had loads of field trips. So beer is currency in Australia. We used to have volunteers come and help on the field trips, pay them in beer. That's how it was. And, you know, great times and everything. But when my dad got sick about 10 years ago and he passed away, when I think about it, I think that's when it really started to take a turn from being, yay, let's all go out and have a party, to, I don't know, Dad wasn't well and I started doing things like going for a walk, but going for a walk via the pub so no one knew I was having a couple of beers, you know, putting some wine in a coffee cup so no one knew I was having that bit of extra wine before dinner. So it started to creep in for, yeah, reasons that weren't so good. And I don't know, after Dad passed away, yeah, I think I just kept drinking. Not as bad as that, but yeah, definitely was ramping up. There's a quote that first you take a drink, then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes you. I was definitely, yeah, at the stage where the drink was taking a drink. So by that, I mean the way alcohol actually creates the anxiety that you're trying to avoid by drinking. I got myself caught in that kind of anxiety loop and I didn't understand it at the time. I just thought if I take a month off drinking, you know, that'll be a reset, feel better, get back on it with my mates after that. So I kept setting myself all these challenges, a month here, a month there. Once I even did a whole year, which, you know, I was very proud about, but I got to the end of the year and I happened to be away on a cruise with my best friend and everyone knew I'd done this year, so what a way to celebrate, have a margarita. And then I went, I don't know, that whole moderation chestnut, if you like. I tried to set rules around it. Right, I've done the year, I've broken it now, but I won't drink at home anymore. I'll only drink if I go out for dinner kind of thing. So I went for another few years, just, I don't know, always making rules, always stopping, starting again, until I was just sick of myself.
It's really interesting hearing that it was grief that escalated your drinking, you know, and for me it was stress. You know, when you drink on these negative emotions, it can be, at first you think it's a comfort and you think that it's an escape and a relief. Actually, it's the complete opposite, isn't it? It just escalates those, I don't know, it heightens bad feeling, doesn't it? It doesn't necessarily relieve it. Was that your experience?
Yeah, but it was insidious, the way this sort of spiral started, I think. Initially it was just to numb it, to get through the day, because obviously I was devastated. My dad was ill and it was a really difficult time and I was just trying to just numb out the anxiety around that, just to get get through the day, and I didn't realise what was starting then was this, I think of it as an anxiety loop. I was drinking because I was anxious, but I was anxious because I was drinking, and it just made it worse.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to make that connection. It really did. And even though people told me, you know, alcohol is a depressant, alcohol gives you anxiety, I was like, no, I'm completely fine. Pass me another beer.
People will say that though, Nicole, and I think actually it's because from the perspective of the individual, I can completely understand it. I think that actually as a society, we need to get a bit more educated around it, because what's the first thing that someone ever says to you when anything bad happens, from, you know, I don't know, you've crashed your car to you've lost a job? What's the first thing that anyone ever says?
Yeah, have a drink.
Oh, mate, you need a drink.
Yeah. Sit down, have a drink.
And you're right, it is a depressant. So hang on, you're feeling crap. So why don't you drink this depressant that will make you feel even crapper? Doesn't make sense.
I know, right? And once I made that connection, things really started to change in my brain. Then it still took me a while to really sort of get going again. I couldn't put the genie back in the bottle once I'd done that full year alcohol free. To be honest, I knew I felt so much better. I looked better. I had more energy. All those wonderful things that people talk about. But I still hadn't quite got it yet. At that point, I still thought, right, I'm cured now. I can drink like a normal person. But it really didn't take very long at all for me to be back to old ways after that year. And I had to go around the loop a few more times, getting to know a few more things about myself, I suppose, before I could really crack it. Things like I learnt that 3 weeks was a danger point for me. The amount of times I took 3 weeks off alcohol, but, you know, when the 3 weeks were up for some reason, no matter how long I told myself my challenge was for, say, 3 weeks was a danger point for me. And 8 months, I cracked that twice for no reason that I can fathom, but 8 months seemed to be a danger point. So I kept learning about all these little sort of points in, I don't know, in my trajectory to put down the bottle, I guess, put down the beer. And really, I was just, I was more or less a grey area drinker, a normal drinker in Australian standards, if you like. Everybody drinks. Beer is currency around here. So,
literally, yeah. With marine biologists.
Well, anything where field trips are involved, or, you know, conferences, or, you know, things like that, there's always alcohol, always around. And, loads of people drink it, and I surely joined in.
It's really interesting to hear what you say. I'm always fascinated to hear people's stories where they have taken a really long extended break from booze. So in your case, you know, that whole year. And the fact that you tried it again, you know, went back to alcohol, and it's mad, and we hear this so much. Well, I'm fixed now. I've obviously not got an issue. I can do this. And then you go back to it, and then the noise starts again. And then it's the same old merry-go-round, except it's not merry at all. There's nothing merry about it. And then you're back on that cycle. Yeah. And when you talked to me then, when you were sharing about the rules that you set after your year, well, obviously I'm fine, so I'm not going to drink at home, and I'm going to do this, and I'll only drink if the day ends in a Y. This is me, by the way. This is what I'd have done.
No, it's the same.
It stresses me out, Nicole, just hearing the rule setting.
Yeah.
We say so often, don't we, on Over the Influence, just shut the door for an extended period. Just shut the door. Doesn't have to be forever. Doesn't even have to be for a year, but just try it for 100 days. And when that door is shut, you can't hear the noise, and then that is able to push you on, I suppose, and make it that bit easier.
Yeah, and it's such a relief, honestly, to have the quiet. In the end, I realise now, like, to go around those loops a couple of times, it's what I needed to understand what my reason was for giving up drinking, really, because other times I'm like, yeah, I feel crap, I've got a hangover, I really need to stop drinking, drink less, or, you know, oh, I look terrible, I'm tired, I really need to stop drinking, or, you know, I've behaved atrociously, I've made an idiot out of myself again, I really should stop. But it wasn't until I realised what I really, really wanted was to stop being at war with myself all the time. I was always arguing with myself in my head. I knew that I didn't want to drink anymore, but that little voice would be like, oh, you can just have one, it'll be all right. And then I'd be putting rules around it. Oh, better not have too many beers tonight, got to work tomorrow, that kind of thing. And it was exhausting. I was just so sick of it. So in the end, I realized that is my why. So I set my date. I set myself a challenge of beating my last record, which was a year. So 1 year and 1 day I set myself. And every time I had that kind of craving come along where I was just like, oh, I could just murder a beer right now. Or, you know, I'd come home from work and just, oh, I'd just love to just numb out with a couple of drinks. I went, right, that is exactly the voice that you are trying to kill. And the quickest way out, they always say, is through. You have to go through every time this feeling comes to get you. You have to learn to navigate that feeling. And ultimately, I did, and I'm so grateful. I'm a much nicer person now, a much calmer person now. There's so much more room in my head for other things, and I've been letting myself do those other things. You know, I've been off traveling, talking to friends, you know, learning a language, doing things that I don't know, I never would have done before because I was numbed sitting on the couch. Wasting time.
It was weird because obviously, you know, the money that you've saved on booze, you've put towards doing these exciting things, like, for example, coming over to see us last year to do one of our events with your husband, Neil. Like, it was being on a mountain and just hearing, I'm not going to do the accent, Sharon.
Don't do it.
But just hearing you kind of, you know, laughing along with the moment, it was like, I cannot believe that two people have flown from Brisbane to be at one of our events. It was just like completely and utterly nuts. I want to talk about that voice a bit more, Nicole. Yeah. It's something that I've had a lot of conversations about recently. I'm not sure if you've heard our episode with Dapper Laughs, Dan O'Reilly. He talks about in some of his content when he was thinking about going alcohol free, he talks about the gremlin. Mm-hmm. That's the voice. Yeah. He called the voice the gremlin. I had Lee Butler around for dinner this week, Shaz. So Lee Butler is someone that we need to get on this podcast. He is an awesome guy. He gave up booze and cocaine. It's years ago now, but he's a big Liverpool DJ, and he's got a recovery service that he runs here in Liverpool called Break Free. He does amazing work. They do it all. It's around AVRT, addictive voice recognition technique. The idea being that, you know, this voice will try and tempt you. You know, it will talk to you in your voice. Anyway, we had a really interesting conversation about that. We ended in, I need to get you on the bloody podcast, mate. He's like, I know. So we'll get him on soon, Charles. But then also, when I was stopping smoking, that voice, you know, comes there. It's there again. And Alan Carr, not that Alan Carr, but the stop smoking Alan Carr, not comedian. Oh, hello, love, put that cigarette.
Not that one.
Down. Not him. But he talks about the voice as being like a monster, and that actually, when you hear it, and this really helped me, when you hear that voice, it's a good thing, because when you get a craving, it's flipping the mindset on a craving to go, that's because Alan Carr is, you know, Dapper Laughs gremlin, it's his monster. Yeah. You know, you've got this little monster, and every time you can hear the monster, it's because he's getting fucking desperate. You know, and he's every time that you get a craving, he's dying. The monster is dying a little bit more. And therefore, when the voices get louder, he's going, come on, quick, feed me. Oh, shit, I'm running out of nicotine. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And that was a really interesting way. And isn't that funny? Like, the power of the mind to kind of go, actually, you know what? Every time I get a craving, that's a good thing. And
that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah, I ended up, if I got a craving, I'd be happy about it. I'd be like, ah, there you are, right. I'm going to navigate through you and I'm not going to give in to you. And sure enough, it always went away. It was just now, yeah, I don't really get any cravings at all, which is just the peace I was after. It was my reason, and I'm so happy with the peace I've found, the clarity I've found, the space in my head that I've found now, rather than being so shouty in there all the time with that ridiculous voice. That's not to say I don't sometimes still get, I don't know, inklings is about the only way I can put it. I suppose what I've learned through this, and as part of shutting down that voice, the voice would always want to project into the future. It would always be like, oh, I've got a wedding coming up, or, oh, you know, there's no point in giving up drinking now, there's a wedding coming, or something like that. And, you know, I'd be all anxious about that, like, oh, I can't not drink at a wedding, and I'd get myself caught in that loop again. I'd probably been about a year alcohol-free on this particular road when I caught myself doing this thing where I was going, oh, but what if you're in Germany one day and it's Christmas and you're staying with a family and they have some special recipe for their homemade glühwein, and, you know, and they're all showing around this glühwein, and, you know, what are you going to do then? Oh, you know, you'll have to have some. And then I just thought, are you in Germany right now? Is it Christmas right now? Who are this mystery family with their, you know, glühwein?
Yeah, clutching at bloody straws, Nicole.
Yeah. And I just remember thinking then, you know what, just if you ever are in Germany and it's Christmas and there is this amazing family with this amazing glühwein recipe, well, think about it then. And that gave me great peace in that moment. I was just in Spain a couple of weeks ago as part of this whirlwind trip, and a little moment like that actually came up where I was just traveling on my own, and I met this American mother and daughter, and they invited me to go to lunch with them. So I did. And they went, oh, we're going to have some sangria. You know, we're in Spain. That's what you've got to do. And I have to admit, even after 2 years without a drop, I had a kind of a pang, a kind of a FOMO, like, oh, I'm missing out on the sangria in Spain. I didn't think for a second that I would drink any, but I just for a minute was just like, ah. Oh. And then it went away again. So I'm just prepared in my ongoing life now to occasionally have these strange pangs. And I'm also prepared for my brain to play tricks on me about anonymous families in Germany and the, you know, glühwein recipe.
But if you do get the invite, you've got to come back and talk to us about that.
Use the community in that point, Nicole. Yeah. You know what? There's really, really weird things happen.
I'm so much better at navigating those thoughts now, at seeing them for what they are rather than sort of falling for them or trying to please this gremlin voice.
We are just going to take a really quick break from this episode with the lovely Nicole speaking to us from the other side of the world. In technology, brilliant. More from Nicole very, very shortly. Before we get back to our fabulous chats down under, just a quick reminder, if you want any information about our community, particularly if you are maybe sober curious, considering a change, still a couple of weeks of summer left to go, you might be thinking, I'm done with this. And I'll tell you what now, I started my whole alcohol-free journey after yet another boozy, boozy summer. I started in September when the kids went back to school and I thought I'll just stick with it for a couple of weeks, whatever. It's 5 years down the line now. 5 years down the line. Find your people, find your community. What's that really wanky saying, Ben? I've not used it for a bit. Your vibe attracts your tribe.
I love that voice. And your vibe attracts your tribe.
But that is the absolute game changer. If you want any information about our community, you can slide into our DMs on social media. You can drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. It is so, so good. It is just fantastic.
If we say so ourselves. Well, we don't say we've got the people at the beginning of every episode saying how good it is, so we actually don't say ourselves.
Ask our members, and we don't tell them what to say. In most cases, we don't. I think it's really important to stress that despite what you think of me and Ben, everybody in this community is normal. Everyone's really, really... Aren't they?
Yeah, it's normal people with normal jobs and normal family situations and normal lives, and they do normal things like go on normal holidays and have normal weekends away and have normal hobbies, but they've just decided to do something different, which is remove the booze.
Yeah.
And so many people are doing it now. So many. It's amazing.
Doesn't matter the flipping reason. It absolutely doesn't. It doesn't matter where you are, you know, where you're up to with it. Although I must stress at this point as well, actually, we are not a recovery program. No. If you are indeed physically addicted to alcohol, even suspect that you might be, it's vitally important that you go and see your GP or a qualified health professional and, you know, stop drinking very, very safely. We are not a recovery program. It's about peer-to-peer support, isn't it, Beb?
Yeah, a really good tool, actually, rather than Googling, am I an alcoholic, which so many people do, and it just throws up all sorts of random, weird and probably not very helpful articles. If you are one of those people who think, actually, I am drinking quite a lot of units every day, I could be physically dependent on alcohol, go to sobercode.co.uk. It's something that's set up by the fabulous Susan Laurie, and have a look for the audit tool, it's called, the Audit C tool. And that is just a really helpful series of questions which can actually kind of help to guide you in the right direction if you think you might be physically dependent on alcohol. But, you know, if you're not, and it's just like me, alcohol, I don't think that I had an alcohol problem in the sense that I don't think that I was physically dependent on alcohol, but alcohol caused me problems without a shadow of a doubt. They're not there now that I'm 3 years into this. That's who our community is for. Like, we never turn anybody away. If you think you might be physically dependent on alcohol, we might point you in another direction first, just to go, look, this is where you can get really good help and support before you come and join us. But anyway, I'm waffling now. Join us. It's great. It's fun. And they're all normal, apart from me and Shaz. But that's fine.
They're all normal, asterisks, apart from a couple. Yeah. And they'll know who they are anyway.
And you know how normal they are, because Nicole is one of our fabulous community members from Australia. And shall we get back to the episode with Nicole now?
Yeah, let's do that before I dig an even bigger hole. Have a look online, overtheinfluence.co.uk, or email us with any questions, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Yeah, let's get back to our chat with the very normal and lovely Nicole.
Have I told you about my FOMO mojo thing, Nicole? Because I always like to find little things that kind of you can hopefully take away and remember. Yeah. Because I suppose, you know, being an Australian member, you do join some of our Zoom calls. You're on with Shaz this morning, weren't you?
I was, yeah, in LA on Friday.
Because the morning calls for us work for you guys, don't they, as your evening calls. So you are able to join the Zooms. I'm not sure you ever heard me talking about my FOMO mojo thing. It's my new thing, Sharon. Have you heard me talking about this?
Come on, what is it? No, I haven't heard this.
So, because it was the summer, like, loads of people, obviously our summer, sorry, Nicole, I know it's your winter over there.
I'm the one in a singlet top, so.
You don't look too cold, to be fair. But I think FOMO kind of ramps up, doesn't it, when, you know, the beer gardens are open and it's the picnics and it's the, you know, Wimbledon and whatever else. And I think my thing is that, yeah, okay, FOMO, fear of missing out. And people talk about JOMO. Actually, it's the joy of missing out these days. I like it, but I don't think it for me personally, it doesn't quite work because, you know, there are times when, you know, like we talked about it in the premium podcast a few weeks ago about that beer garden moment.
Yeah, the golden hour that we actually narrowed down to the golden 20 minutes, if the truth be known. It's not an hour.
Yeah. We won't go into detail on that now because we talk about it for ages. If you want to hear it, subscribe to the premium podcast, overtheinfluence.supercast.com if you're on Spotify, or just click the try for free if you're on Apple Podcasts. But no, my new thing, it's FOMO mojo, because we talk about the difference between abstinence and sobriety. Abstinence is giving one thing up. Sobriety is bringing a load of new things in. I think in terms of making this thing stick properly long term, it's about bringing things in that you... I know that I wouldn't be doing this if I was still a drinker. And actually, I'm now at the point where if I drink again, I'll have to give these things up, and I'm not prepared to do that. Yeah. It's the complete flip. And that's what I mean about FOMO mojo, is that, yeah, those kind of moments of FOMO where maybe you go, oh, you know what, I used to really enjoy doing that when I was a drinker. But I know that it would take away my mojo now, you know, like that energy that I've got because I'm alcohol free, that kind of enthusiasm for life that I didn't really have. You know, I'd be sitting in the pub talking about all these things I wanted to go and do, but I'd be sitting in the pub talking about it. Now I'm actually going out and doing them. And I think, you know, yeah, okay, fear of missing out. But actually, are you prepared to take away some of your mojo?
I like
to
that.
To kind of satisfy that FOMO.
It's Benny Ben, isn't it? I like it a lot.
I've been working on it, Shannon.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, Nicole, what would you say have you bought in then? Like, what have you kind of, in terms of that long term, you know, it's about bringing things in that you know that you wouldn't have done as a drinker. What are those things?
What the mojo is. Lots of little sort of, I don't know, activities and things, travels and language and things. But for me, when you talk about the mojo, that little quote that I said before, first you take a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes you. I think the drink was starting to take me, like not just this war in my head, but I'd also become just so sad and lost and insular, you know. Whereas I was always an optimistic little kid, you know, people used to call me hooray for everything, but that was gone. And I don't know, I've got that back again now, this sort of, I don't know, the joie de vivre or however you pronounce it, the joy for life. I'm much more optimistic in the day. I feel like I'm friends with myself again. And I don't want to lose that again, to go back to that sad sack of a person that I'd become. So for me, that is my mojo, just seeing the joy in life again, the colours, enjoying nature again, getting outside. Yeah, I don't want to go back.
I really love that. That's just, yeah, wow, you've just really summed it up. You think at the time, as a drinker, when everything's alleged fun, it's brilliant, it's this, that, the other. You think it's the be-all and end-all. And it's really hard. In fact, I think it's actually impossible to, how do I describe it? It's impossible to see the possibilities when you're, you know, for me, like literally up to your neck in rosé wine and vodka and anything else that is going. It's only when you step out, literally step out of that glass, whatever it is, and begin to look back, you're like, wow, it really does suck the joy out of life, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And then sobriety becomes, as you said there, you've just described it as just so, it's just so colourful.
It is. It's like the grey's gone. I'm not numb anymore. People say that, you know, the great thing about when you give up drinking is, you know, you get all your feelings back, both the good and the bad. But part of the trajectory of it for me was you learn to navigate the bad ones and enjoy the good ones even more. And it evens out the height and the depth of the roller coaster aren't as acute anymore. And that is, I guess that's what where I'm finding peace now. It's not such a wild kind of Tim Burton movie anymore.
Yeah.
It's a much smoother ride, and I'm enjoying that. I feel like I've got more time in the day. I can look around. I've never been good in the mornings, but, I wake up in the mornings now and I don't think, oh, no, I'm awake. You know what I mean? I used to wake up and think, oh, no, I'm awake. Whereas now I'm like, okay, let's get up, get on with it, and it's a really good feeling. I feel younger.
How's it gone down with the people in your life, Nicole, that you've made this choice? I'm thinking your partner Neil, first of all, and then, you know, social networks as well, because if Australia is anything like here, you know, you are doing something that's going against the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it is the visions that we get of Australia, it's, you know, you're all on the beach with a Barbie with a, you know, a spatula in one hand and a can of beer in the other. Like, that's the Australian image that we get.
Look, Australia drinking is a massive part of the culture here. You're obviously already aware. On the whole, my friends and family have been really supportive. Some of them might have been a bit surprised, particularly when, like, Australia, we're almost like a little bit behind Europe and the UK when it comes to alcohol-free options in the pubs, etc. I used to make a point of going in and asking for them just to see the bartender look confused. And when I first moved to Brisbane, I actually contacted the local pub and asked them, could they please get in a six-pack of alcohol-free beer for me so I could come to the pub and have something that wasn't kind of kiddie water that I could drink. On the whole, everyone's been amazing, completely understanding and, you know, championed me as I've gone along. I have lost a couple of friends, but I don't know, you hear it all the time. I realise now they weren't really friends anyway. I've had some terrible comments from people when I've gone to a party and haven't been drinking, and they've told me, if you ever come back here again and you're not drinking, you will not be tolerated. I'll never forget it. You will not be tolerated.
What? And not be tolerated. Yeah. What's the bloody name? Who's this?
Weird choice of words as well.
Absolutely.
You will not be tolerated.
Hang on. They, like, well,
why
this
why are you
joke?
Talking like a sign? Why? Why like...
At the time,
oh,
I was
we all spoke all over each other then. It's just like the biggest rage. That's just outrageous. Was it said... Oh, well, you won't be tolerated. Lol. Was there a smiley emoji on the end of it? Or was it like, you will not be tolerated, angry face?
Well, a bit of both. It was hard to tell. I mean, bless her cotton socks. She was probably 3/4 of the way into a bottle of wine at the time and was probably trying to make a joke. But the way it came out was really harsh. Anyway, look, it says more about her and, you know, alcohol than it did about me at the time. You know, I realised later and... I don't know, but you do have to learn to navigate these reactions from people, and I definitely had that. And definitely, if you friends in inverted commas have fallen by the wayside purely because all we used to do was drink together, I think. So now we no longer drink together, nothing in common. So just branched off and gone our own way.
You do find out who your friends are, and what is really really surprising, I think, in sobriety, is the new friendships that we make. Can we just talk a little bit about that and about the fact that our community is based in the UK? You are based on the other side of the world. Obviously, most of what we do is about online connection. What has OTI brought to your, excuse me for saying this, alcohol-free journey?
My journey. Well, it is a journey, isn't it? It's a marathon, not a sprint, and all those things. It's a big, wide open road. Look, it's brought me everything, really. As I say, that sense of connection. Also, the feeling, I struggled for a long time feeling that I was a stupid idiot, that I let myself get to this point, that I'd fallen for all the alcohol advertising and I was a fool. Then there's this community of amazing, articulate, successful, fabulous people that have also been through the same thing in their own way and going through the same emotions with it. And I think, wow, if they also found themselves, you know, in a bit of a sticky situation with their drinking, they're trying to give it up and finding it a little more difficult than they might have imagined, maybe I'm not so bad after all. I feel absolutely honoured to be part of the OTI community. And when I came over to the Yorkshire Three Peaks, that was just the icing on the cake. It was my massive reward to myself to go and actually meet you guys in real life and, you know, put faces to the forum posts and to the Zoom. And I don't know, the community, it's my backup, my comfort. I love everyone there, the attitude, the humour. I don't think I could have got, you know, to where I am now with it without OTI, and that's the truth. I need the lightness of spirit, you know. It's not doom and gloom. It's not, you know, what you're denying yourself. It's everything that's ahead of you on this wide open, unexplored road. Yeah, what can I say? Just love OTI. Love the international aspect of it as well. You know, it's fantastic to be in contact with all these people all around the world. It reminds me that life isn't just a big old boozy Australian barbecue. There's a whole world out there full of all different people. And really, we're all at the same in the end. We just want a life of happiness and love and peace.
And it's provided you with a running partner as well, because don't you Zoom with, so you're Nicole in Brisbane. Yeah. Don't you Zoom with Davina in Devon? And don't you run together and then have coffee and cake afterwards?
We have done, not so much the coffee and cake, but it started off a couple of years ago. Hi, Davina, where I think, I can't even remember how we started off. We decided it'd be a great laugh to go for a run together. We're both running 5Ks. And so she was doing the park run one morning and I said, I'll run at exactly the same time, except over here in Australia, which was at that
brilliant
stage night time. So we did that and then, you know, had a great big laugh about it afterwards. And then, yeah, we've done it again since, and we'll do it again. We need to actually involve more people, I think, in that kind of thing, because I don't know, there's something that really spurs you on when you know that you're running with someone, even though they're on the other side of the phone.
Love it. Absolutely love it. It's... you're just yet another brilliant example of somebody, you know, within our community that, well, you've thrown yourself into it. You know, we always say that the more you put in to Over the Influence, the more you're going to get out of it. And you've done that with Knobs On. And it's just glorious to see, you know, the sunshine back in your life, the colour back in the sky, the sparkle back on your face. And what you've touched on there about the community and the connections you've made, this is more than connections. This is real friendships. Yeah. It's the humour. And it's not people going, oh, this is awful and I'm missing out on this and I'm missing out. Of course we talk about the negative stuff. Of course we talk about the difficult stuff. But the main thrust, I like that word, the main thrust of OTI is...
No, I'm not sure I do.
I like it. Again, the main thrust.
Oh, Sharon, you're making me wrong.
I don't know where it came from. Quite a retro word. It's about looking forwards and everything you gain and the laughter and the joy within Over the Influence. It's, for me, it's one of the best things. It ain't miserable sobriety. It's bloody glorious. There you go, I've said it. Ain't not drinking great. It's sobriety. Bloody wonderful. Before Ben does the impression, I just thought I'd get that in there.
Would I?
Come on.
It's just such a satisfying accent, and you get to do it all day, every day. I'm just jealous. That's all. I'm just jealous. And what a poetic episode this has been, by the way.
It's been lovely.
Nicole, I think we need to take your description of the Over the Influence community and put that front and centre, because it was just the most beautiful summing
up
of this weird nuts thing that we've created that's kind of taken on a life of its own. So thank you so much for that.
It's been absolutely amazing. And as time's gone on, I don't spend as much time in the forum now as I used to. And that's not because I don't want to be there. I love it there and I read as often as I can. But life really does open up when you stop drinking. It takes a while. It doesn't happen straight away. For me, it certainly didn't. The second year is where it all started to really open up and things to move forward. And it's just worth it. It's so worth it. Thank you guys for everything you do.
Nicole, it's our absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Ben's doing that little thing that teenage girls do with the fingers like that. He's doing little hearts with his hands. Nicole Hacking in Brisbane, Australia. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Over the Influence.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Nicole Hacking from Australia, an amazing community member. Thank you so much. It warms our cockles immensely, especially when we talk to community members. So absolute joy. Nicole, thank you for your time.
You know what we were saying in the middle about how our community is full of normal people? And we were maybe overstressing that a bit, which could have sounded a little bit suspect and suspicious. It's not very normal to fly over all the way from Australia to join a load of mates that you've met on the internet who are all sober to walk up mountains in Yorkshire. That's not very normal, is it?
No.
I mean, it's...
But then that's sobriety, isn't it? It's full of surprises and ridiculousness.
We were on that mountain. I said, Nicole, what are you doing here? And she went, well, look, I've saved so much money since going alcohol-free. That's my Nicole. I thought that was good.
Don't do that.
I've saved so much money since going alcohol-free. I've got the energy. I've got the motivation to do this kind of weird stuff that I wouldn't normally do if I was a drinker. Great. Love it, Nicole. Fabulous. Just before we go, Shaz, I want to ask you about where you were this time 5 years ago, because we approached our alcohol freeness in terms of the start date in very different ways. For me, it was like got to do this now. Bite the bullet, go. I woke up one day and went, that's enough. Today is the day. Whereas you started when the kids went back to school in September, which is, of course, coming up very soon. So our sober curious listeners might be in that same kind of category. Why did you want a kind of start date like that? Why didn't you just go, right, the time is now?
Because, like many, many people, I wanted to choose a time where I thought it was right to start. This would be a great time to start. Turns out it was. It was the perfect time. Also now, having had the experience of starting and stopping many, many times, disclaimer, there's no right time. You know, there is literally no right time to start. But I think for many women, my age in particular, when you've got kids, not necessarily actually my age, I just think for many women with kids that are going back to school after yet another boozy summer, and I've lost track, you know, of the numbers of years spent drinking through the summer, and knew that the day those kids went back to school on that Monday morning, I was going to do take a break from booze. And I thought, it'll take me up to Christmas. So that's September, October, November, 90 days. And then I'll start again, like get right back on it just in time for the party season on the 1st of December. Never happened, because that was five years ago. And you said to me then, you know, where was I 5 years ago, Ben? Up to my neck in rosé wine, daily drinking, ramping it up at weekends. You know, again, it doesn't matter now how much I drank, because I would hate someone to use me as like a really shit barometer for their drinking. Too fast, too much, and too often. But you know that feeling when the kids go back to school and it's like new shoes, and there was a slight change in the weather, and it's shiny new bags, yeah, and it's new pencil cases.
It's like new start again, isn't it? It's like new year, but...
New start. But
yeah, same feel.
And that's exactly how it felt for me. And do you remember when we had Davinia Taylor on the podcast?
Blimey.
Probably a couple of years ago now.
That was a while back.
Yeah, ages ago. Fellow Lancashire lass. And she, like me, we've got the same start date. And I've got a feeling, don't quote me on this, Claire Pooley. She might be September as well. Maybe. I need to check that out with me busy mate Claire. It's a great time. It's a great time of year to start. If you're sober curious, if you're just thinking about that break, you do what I did. Set yourself 90, 100 days and just say, right, I'll just get to December and then reassess. I can pretty much guarantee you get 100 days alcohol-free under your flipping belt, and it's much easier to look forward than it is to look back at an extended stint without alcohol. Yeah. I did not think, Ben, I could do this, as if I'm here now chatting to you 5 years nearly down the line, having not had alcohol. Honestly, it's a game changer. Find your people, your tribe. No, you're right. Do it with us, over the influence.co.uk. We're dead normal. Yeah. Everyone's all right.
But it's to have people who are also doing the same thing. So you'll join, and you'll have people who are joining at the same time as you, kind of starting off the same time as you, which is great to have people who are kind of at a similar stage. But you'll also join and meet people who are year one, year two, year three. We've got someone in there who's 9 years alcohol free. I mean, the amount of experience that's in that place, and everyone is incredibly willing to share it as well. It's not like you're kind of, you know, you're new and you're like, excuse me, can I ask you? And people are like, oh, for God's sake. They're like, let me tell you everything I know. Of course, we'd love to help you. So go and have a look. And if you are thinking kind of that you might be a September start person, fair enough. I mean, September's coming up. Join it now. Start having a read. Just kind of have a look. Get the vibe. See what it's all about. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. It's £19.99 a month, that's right, isn't it? £19.99 a month, or £199 per year to join us. You can leave at any time. There's no contract.
Yeah.
We don't tie you in. If you want to come and try it for a month and see if it's for you, and then hopefully stay. But if you go, fine, you know, just give it a go. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. Sharon's got a hand up.
Hang on.
She's also got COVID.
Excuse me, told you I wasn't well. I just wanted to say as well, worst case scenario, if you come in and it's not for you, okay, 20 quid a month, it's 20 quid, fair dues, okay? Which obviously is a very simple sum, it's £5 a week. If you just sort of put that against what you...
Sorry, I'm not going to go off on one about that, but...
We've not got time, because I need to go and clear my throat. So what have you got to lose? 20 quid, if you don't like it, fair enough. What have you got to gain? Well, what you get is sobriety, Ben, and it's like we could be here for another 10 hours. Literally,
which you can't do.
Just give it a shot.
We've already been here for ages, so
yeah,
we're just excited. Yeah. Sorry, we love it. It's great.
I get passionate.
Should we say goodbye?
Let's say goodbye. Overtheinfluence.co.uk, or drop us any questions at all, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. OTIHQ at overtheinfluence.co.uk. As always, thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure. Same time next week.